Why, yes, it is a Tuesday. Time to talk to Riley Gates. Go Powercat, go Powercat.com, who still hasn't come off cloud nine since Tiger Woods won the Masters, have you?
I think I finally calmed down yesterday. You know, reality set in. It was Monday, and I think I had read and watched about every piece of news or column or anything out there about it. So, yeah, I think we're slowly getting there, but, yes, I'm still a little excited.
Are you a little bit surprised, though, at how everybody's acting so shocked that he won a major? And the reason I say this is, one, he played well in the majors last year. It's not like I would understand the being shocked if he was had a horrible year last year. But it's almost like, well, because he didn't win one last year, he had a horrible year. He actually had a very good year in the majors and showed all kinds of signs that he was ready to take the next step and win majors again. I'm just surprised by, I understand the full story. I get why people overall wrote him off, almost probably 99% of people in the country buried him 6 feet under. But when you really look at it, his comeback, it's maybe complete because he won on Sunday, but the comeback was already in place based on what he did last year.
Well, yeah, and I actually, you know, I listened to the show yesterday and heard you guys kind of talked about it, and I'm on the same page as you. I'm going to kind of humble brag. Like, I knew he would win another one. I just didn't know when it was going to come. I didn't know it was going to be the Masters.
Yep.
But I knew he was going to do it the way that he ended last season, winning that tournament. I knew he was back a little bit, and so I'm not shocked that he won, but I'm also not shocked that everybody's freaking out about it in terms of the national spotlight or national media people, because like you said, you know, they're quick to write him off. They're quick to get the clicks on their stories or their TV shows or whatever when he's down, and then pretend like they didn't say in the first place. You know, we're all wrong at times, and I am clearly wrong a lot.
Me too.
I'm not gonna, like, you know, say, I hate it. I hate, like you were just saying there at the end, someone like a Stephen A. Smith who threw him under the bus for so many years and then is just back on his bandwagon. I was very happy for a lot of reasons, but that was one of the reasons that I was so happy that Tiger Woods won the Masters on Sunday.
It was an amazing sporting event. Amazing sporting event. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. It ties into the off-the-wall question later, but it was fantastic. That's what makes sports great. And everybody loves a comeback story or a comeback kid, and certainly Tiger not a kid anymore, but at the age of 43, which makes me feel a little bit better, Riley, because I'm 43, and I can't do anything like you did the other day, but it makes me feel good for guys in their 40s that he's beating these guys in their 20s, which you're in your 20s, no offense. But it is kind of cool to see, you know, I remember Tom Watson nearly winning the British that one year, and that was insane too. And I so wish he could have pulled that off. And then Tiger able to beat guys that were learning to play golf when he was dominating the sport. It was fun to see the young guys react after Tiger won, like, oh God, he is back. Because I don't think all the young guys truly believed he was going to make it all the way back. Did you?
No. I mean, it would have been really tough to believe that he would have, you know, just said he fell on the golf course. He was in so much pain. I roll an ankle and I can't do anything for 2 weeks. Or I remember, like, I sprained my wrist in high school one time. It was like a minor sprain. And I think I shot like 30 or 40 shots, like way off the pace. I was in miserable pain and he couldn't walk.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked that, like, you know, people then were a little questionable of him coming back. I mean, I think he would have been a little bit naive to question or to not question it, but no, it is good, and I think he's got a little bit of juice left in him. I don't know if he can get to 18, but I think he's got some juice left in him.
I'm with you. I agree with you. All right, Riley Gates is with us, and he's always brought to us by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. All right, so the spring football showcase over the weekend there in Manhattan. What were your overall thoughts, and did you learn anything?
I yawned a lot.
Okay, cool.
I'm very torn on this because I've been saying for years that Bill Snyder needs to do away with the spring game itself because I thought the game was boring. You know, he never played the ones and the ones. He never played the ones versus, you know, it was always a lot of backup, a lot of scrubs and guys that are not going to see the field much. So it was boring in that aspect. But then again, what we saw on Saturday was pretty boring too. You know, a lot of guys doing drills and then a very brief scrimmage. Now, I took away some things, you know. I could see the guys that were working with Van Malone, the cornerback's coach, and, you know, kind of get a feel, okay, this guy's a cornerback, this guy's a safety, that guy's going to be a nickelback, things like that. You know, got to see what groups they rolled out there first. And, you know, someone like a Wyking Gill at wide receiver who I never really thought was going to see a whole lot of significant time. And right now it looks like he's the number three wide receiver, probably bump back to number four when Isaiah Zuber gets healthy again. So, you know, a few takeaways like that, but it's tough to really sit here and go, oh, man, Skylar Thompson looked phenomenal, and James Gilbert ran the ball incredibly well. He's going to be a strong back. It's tough to take much away from something like that, and that's why I would kind of campaign to Chris Klieman and K-State. You know, just it's fun to bring the fans out, but I think there were maybe 5,000 people there, if. So, you know, shut the doors, have a 15th closed practice where you can actually get after it and really improve. And then, you know, maybe let the media come talk to him after the 15th practice. You know, how was spring ball? What are the things you're looking for? Whatever, things like that. I just feel like at the end of the day, they really only got 14 practices out of this spring because that 15th one is what we saw on Saturday, and it really wasn't a whole lot.
What was the – did you have a highlight of the day, though? Between your yawns, was there a highlight that stood out to you?
Well, it's tough to argue against Sammy Wheeler's catch in the end zone, although it was apparently ruled incomplete by the scrimmage officials, so that was unfortunate. But Wyking Gill did catch a deep route, which was really fun to see. So I guess there were some explosive plays at times. But, you know, when you can't hit the quarterback or when you're supposed to just thud up on a running back, it's tough to really get too excited because you're like, oh, maybe James Gilbert would have trucked that guy and kept going for 10 more yards. Or maybe he would have gotten dropped for a loss or two. You just can't really take a whole lot away.
Well, I know it's early. Obviously, we just had the spring football showcase. But what is your biggest area of concern for the football team going into next season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, right now, you got to think that the linebackers and the defense as a whole really took a hit with the loss of Justin Hughes, who tore his ACL last week in practice, which is just devastating for him. You know, he's a good kid, and he was the leader of that defense. He had really emerged as something special, and the staff really liked him a lot, so it's tough to lose him. And now you're looking for a defensive leader, and I don't really know who that guy's going to be. They got a lot of quiet voices on that defense, so you got to look for that in terms of somebody stepping up. And also, you know, I've said it probably three or four times this year, but running back is a really big concern right now. And I think it was pretty telling that we were asked Chris Klieman about the running backs, and you know, he straight up said that, hey, maybe we're going to have to wait for some freshmen to get in here and see what they can do. You know, if you've got a graduate transfer and you've got a Division I transfer from in Harry Trotter, and obviously James Gilbert is the graduate transfer, and yet you're still looking for, you know, who could maybe step up, could a true freshman, an 18, 19-year-old kid come in and make an impact, that tells me you haven't really seen what you're wanting to see so far out of this team. And I think that's got to be a little bit concerning. It's got to set off some red lights because you kind of figure that James Gilbert would step in here and Harry Trotter would be right there. Now, I don't think they're that far off the pace, and I do think it's going to be one of those guys taking the snaps. But I would have felt a lot more comfortable had Chris Klieman come out and said, you know, James was really impressive and he's looking really good right now, or Harry surprised us well, and it looks like we're going to have two guys that can carry the ball. To be looking for freshmen is a little bit alarming at this point, I'd say.
Yeah, it was interesting. You bring up Hughes, and it is a bad break, tearing the ACL, but Dusty pointed this out, I think it was yesterday, because he was there, of course, covering it too. And just to hear Coach Klieman talk about Justin Hughes and his injury was just so different than what we're used to. I'm sure that stood out to you as well.
Super weird. Because, you know, Bill Snyder would have usually just probably played it off or not really addressed it a whole lot. The times there are changing, I guess, and it feels like I feel like we might have a Monday press conference someday or Tuesday, whatever day we end up having them on, and Chris Klieman just starts it off by giving us an injury report rundown. That'd be something. That would be something a little bit crazy. I think I'd lose my mind.
You guys would all fall off your chairs. I mean,
I honestly don't know what I'd do with that information. Do I make it a weekly thing? Like, hey, here's the injury report.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's amazing. I'm so excited.
Maybe you need to make up a mock one just to get prepared for that day so that you're ready.
Just have it ready to go.
compared to all the other media brethren, maybe. I don't know. That would be wild. I agree with you. Riley Gates, our guest, would go Paracat with us every Tuesday. Okay, let's shift gears to K-State. They have an opening on their coaching staff. So, Riley, if you want to get into coaching like your brother, you might have an opportunity here. You have some ins. Chester Frazier leaving the program. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, it's been a move that's been in the works for a week, a little bit over maybe. Actually, I mean, probably longer, but in terms of, you know, I got a call last week that it could happen, and I was really hearing some strong things from other people, so kind of had it ready to go. I knew it was going to be dropping anytime soon, and it came out this morning that he is off to Virginia Tech. I mean, this is, first and foremost, I guess, to just address the move itself. It's not super shocking. Chester's from Baltimore, and he's been wanting to get back home for quite some time, I'm told. And this is kind of the move back. You know, you go back to Virginia, and you're not that far from Baltimore, and it's a lot easier of a trip than it is from Manhattan, Kansas. So that it makes a whole lot of sense in that aspect. And also, you're looking to spread your wings a little bit. You know, this is the first job that Chester Frazier's had after he played for Bruce Weber at Illinois. You know, he played at Illinois. He went and played professionally in Germany for a while. And then he came to K-State as an assistant coach. So you got to spread your wings. You got to prove that, hey, you know, I can do it on merit, you know, not necessarily just on name and relationships, which I'm not blaming him by any means for getting the job that way. I mean, if it comes into you, absolutely, you take advantage of that. But it could be good to show that you are more than just, you know, a former player that got a job because you knew the coach. So it makes sense in that aspect. For K-State, it really hurts. You know, I believe Chester Frazier was the best recruiter on this staff. You know, a lot of people want to point out and say, oh, you know, he wasn't the main recruiter on any of the 2019 kids. And well, yeah, no, he wasn't the main recruiter, but he was a big recruiter in all of them and in some other targets along the way. So, you know, it's a loss. If you want to try to pretend like it's not, go ahead. But I do believe this does hurt. You know, I'm not really sure where they're going to turn right now in order to replace them, and both in terms of name and in terms of what they're going to go after. You know, I think Chester was a great recruiter, but I do question in terms of his coaching ability. You know, I think he was a good coach. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he was. I think he was more of a recruiter than a basketball coach is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know who they're going to go after in terms of that. I think that there's a lot of players, but or former players. I think there's guys that can coach. I think there's guys that can recruit. But, you know, I would encourage you to look along maybe his Bruce Weber's coaching tenure, former players, former coaches under in that Gene Katy tree. Mm-hmm. You know, Alvin Brooks is the only one that's ever been not part of that tree. So he's been pretty loyal to that. You know, we've got a hot board at GoPowerCat.com right now, and you can take a look at some names we've got over there. But I would fully expect it to be a rather familiar hire to him, and maybe not necessarily to K-State, but more so to Bruce Weber.
All right, time for our off-the-wall questions. I got two for you today. I'm going to start with the negative, and I'm going to go to the positive. Okay, so last night, the Golden State Warriors blew a 31-point lead in the second half at home against the L.A. Clippers. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the number one seed in the NHL playoffs. They had the most points with 128, the most wins with 62. They had a goal differential of plus 103, and they are down 3-0 in the first round of their series against the Blue Jackets, who are 47-31. It's an 8, knocking off a 1, possibly a sweep later tonight. What is the biggest collapse you have ever seen or you think is the biggest collapse in sports history, in your opinion? I'll buy you a little bit of time. Like, one that comes to my mind immediately is the Bills. The Oilers were up 35-3. The Bills come back and win. Everybody wanted somebody else to make it the Super Bowl. The Bills come back and win behind Frank Reich as their quarterback. I was watching this game. We only had one TV set out on the farm. I know it's hard to believe for young people out there. One TV set? How is that possible? But it was color, so we were living it big. And we were watching this game, and it was 35-3. And I remember the movie. We had rented Rocketeer for some reason. We rented. And my mom and my sister's like, hey, can we watch this movie? This game's over. And for once, I usually say no. But in this situation, I'm like, yeah, it's 35-3. I'll be nice. I'll let mom and sis watch Rocketeer. I'll watch it with them. No big deal. So we watched the movie. And when the movie's over on the VHS recorder or whatever, VCR as we called it, as soon as it was over, it started to rewind. It goes back to the channel that the TV was on. And all of a sudden, popping up after the movie is over, they're interviewing Frank Reich. I'm like, why are they interviewing the Bills' backup quarterback? And right after I say that in my mind, it's the great, what, how did you do this? Coming in for Jim Kelly, the greatest comeback in the history of the NFL playoff history. And I screamed. I literally screamed. I said, never again am I going to leave a game no matter what the score is. I'm not going to turn the channel. I am never going to let somebody watch a movie again. And I will tell you to this day, Riley Gates, I have never watched The Rocketeer ever again. I never will. And I think that's one of the worst movies of all time, even though I don't remember watching and knowing what was in it. So having said that and bought you some time, what's the biggest sports collapse in sports history, in your opinion?
I appreciate the time. I needed
no problem.
A quick second to think.
No problem.
Well, first off, the first answer I wanted to go with was the 98 Big 12 Championship, you know, with K-State and Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in fairness, I was two. I don't remember the game.
You're
you know,
lucky.
I've watched it a million times. I've watched it a million times, but I don't remember the game. So I'm going to go with one that I've actually seen, and you know, I was there, and it was this last year, K-State at Iowa State. You're going into the fourth quarter with a 17-point lead. You're 5-6, and you're looking like, okay, well, we're going to go to a bowl game. You just can't afford to give this one up. And then just like that, they turn it over, and Iowa State scores, and then they fumble it, and, you know, just like that, Iowa State takes the win. K-State goes 5-7, and Bill Snyder's coaching career is done. So I think that'd probably have to be the one that I watched and just was like, are you kidding me? And I wanted to say the 2015 K-State-Iowa State football game, where K-State was down by like 14 in the fourth quarter or something like that, and all that Iowa State had to do was just kneel out the clock and they would have won.
Yeah,
but, you know, that one to me, yes, it's a collapse, but it was more so that Paul Rhodes can't coach football. So I'm going to go with this year at Iowa State.
I also put my wild card nomination to answer my own question here, Riley. Any game involving the Royals bullpen, complete collapse. One of the worst of all time.
You got your pick of the litter.
Yeah, there's just too many, so I can't say the worst ever. All right, so now for the positive one. Have you ever seen a better sports moment or been a part of a better sports moment than what you saw Sunday when Tiger Woods won the Masters in Augusta? Or is there anything you could think of that ranks up there?
No, I mean, honestly, this sounds really corny, but the only time that I have felt that happy about a sporting event in terms of the overall feel, in terms of what happened and kind of the reaction after, was when we won the state championship in basketball when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was obviously a very personal thing. And to kind of reach that level was a lot of fun. But, like, maybe it's because of the job that I do now. And, you know, I don't watch a K-State game anymore. I don't watch, you know, I like the NFL games and I'll watch them. But I've never been so glued to a TV where I didn't move. I was watching every shot. The second the putt rolled in, I was screaming and, you know, I was celebrating like it was a football game that I was at. And then all the reaction after where, you know, he's hugging his son on the 18th green and just getting the green jacket back on. I don't know. It's like I said, it sounds corny, but, man, I was happy. And I don't think I've ever seen a better moment in sports than that, you know, just given all the situation, the circumstances surrounding Tiger Woods and the comeback. It was great, and I hope there's a lot more yet to come.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of that. And one other thing I should add, I think it was the greatest. It was at least greatest for now. I'd have to go back. We always get caught up in the recency of things. But
yeah,
I think the way CBS handled when he won and Jim Nance and Nick Faldo and all those guys, whoever was directing that broadcast, I want to give them two gigantic thumbs up, because once Tiger won, they shut up. And they, for 4 minutes, you just saw Tiger celebrating, hugging his family, hugging other golfers, and they and all the way to where he went in to sign his scorecard. I thought that was absolutely fantastic sports broadcast coverage without saying a word.
Oh, and the four words that he did say,
were
you know, a return to glory.
Yes.
That's
perfect.
Such a great call.
Yes.
It was such a great call. And it was, that's got to go down. I mean, when Jim Nance is done and they put together his reel, that'll be on there. I guarantee it.
I agree. And so many people in sports broadcasting would have talked too much and just ruined it. And that was just unbelievably fantastic, I think, to add to the moment. All right. You want to talk again next week with us? What do you want to talk about next week? You going to get some sleep since you've been yawning or what?
Yeah, I'll try to get some sleep. But, you know, assistant coaches keep leaving K-State. Now well, I got to go out and look for more.
That's true. We could talk about that.
I'm free. You know, I'll take your call if you're calling. You know, it's downtime, but it's not downtime. I'm going to actually try to get some golf in now. But And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, if you want to talk, I'll talk with you.
All right. Do you still have some good deals there for subscribers, for future subscribers, and what you're working on there at Go Powercat?
Yep, absolutely. The 30% off on your first year is still there, and or dollar for your first month. You can't beat that. So you're going to get on over there, get signed up. You can read our hot board. You can read recruit. We got recruiting coming in out the wazoo. You know, football recruiting is really ramping up, and it's kind of a summer thing. But the basketball signing period starts tomorrow. And so hopefully, you know, K-State gets some good news soon. Probably won't be this week, but in the very near future, they've got some visitors coming in on Monday, I believe. And so, you know, be get on over there. We'll have recruiting covered. We'll have everything else covered. Always a great time. Not gonna slow down just because sports are slowing down, that's for sure.
No doubt. Well, you do wonderful work. We look forward to talking again next Tuesday, and enjoy your week, man.
I appreciate it, Wade. Thanks.
Take care. That's Riley Gates, Go Powercat, gopowercat.com. You heard the deals they have right now, so go take advantage of that. Lots of things happening in K-State Athletics, no question about it. Now you've got a coaching change on the basketball team with Chester Frazier leaving for Virginia Tech, and we certainly know there's still a lot of excitement in the newness of the program under Coach Kleiman for football, and who knows what else might pop up when we talk to Riley next Tuesday. Riley Gates' appearance, our Wildcat Insider, brought to you every single Tuesday by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.